Thank you for listening to Lone Star Community Radio. This program was broadcasted and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. Lone Star Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Donate and sponsor today. For more information on getting involved with Lone Star Community Radio, contact us at lscrstudios@gmail.com or visit us online at www.irlonestar.com.
Welcome to Veterans Era, the Veterans Hour, your source for news, talk, and uncensored commentary here on the Lone Star Community Radio. I'm your host, Douglas B., and you can listen to new shows the first Tuesday of every month at 1 p.m. You can listen to past shows over at www.veteransera.us or here on the Lone Star Station, or you can even find us on Facebook, Facebook Live, YouTube, and wherever you get your fine podcasts. As always, a little housekeeping before we get started. You can contact Veterans Air through the website www.veteransair.us. Leave us a message, or better yet, contact us in the studio on our Google phone via text at 936-344-3083. No, you can't call me because I don't trust any of y'all. You have to text me. Got a big show for you, about an hour long. We're going to talk about what's happening Saturday the 7th with Checkpoint still here. And then, of course, we have to talk about Operation Epic Fury. In the studio today, we have with us Sergeant First Class retired Curtis Park. He's going to tell us about this upcoming Checkpoint still here motorcycle ride and resource day out at VFW 4709. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Douglas. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, what is this Checkpoint Still Here, and what are we doing?
Checkpoint Still Here is going to be the name of the Op Zero. Operation Zero is our logo. It's who we are. It's our foundation. But it is Checkpoint Still Here is we want to stop veteran suicide. So we want to prepare veterans. We want veterans to know that they're not alone. They're not by themselves. We don't want any veteran to feel like the last option and their only option is suicide. We're here. We're taught in the military that if you need support, you call on the radio. You get on the radio, you call. And if that call sign doesn't answer, you call the next call sign. You keep calling on that radio until you finally get somebody that's there to help you out, to send you what you need, to get you where you need to be at to win the mission. Obviously, our mission now is life. So that's near and dear to my heart. The organization was started by one of my brothers who went through his own episode and realized he didn't want to have that episode anymore. So he started Operation Zero. And basically each chapter of the Vietnam Vets, Legacy Vets Motorcycle Club has a representative in every single chapter, in every single state and 8 different countries. But we are here to make sure veterans don't feel like they're by themselves, because they're not. Just because they don't have a platoon, they don't have that designator, they don't have that unit, they're not by themselves. We're still here. We're still out here. We're still doing great help. So the event on Saturday is to reignite the Houston metro area and get veterans the services they need. So we have coming out is the VA. The VA is going to give out a bunch of resources. We're actually going to have some people there with computers to go over your benefits and tell you what benefits.
Let's go in order here.
Oh, the ride.
Yes, at 11 a.m. is the Cruise for Life, an open ride to all that stand with our veterans. We ride to remember that we are still here. And you were just telling me that this just isn't a motorcycle ride.
No, it's not a motorcycle ride. We want classic cars. If you're proud of your 1972 Volkswagen Beetle, bring it out. Bring it all out. So we're going to have the Op Zero flag fly first, and then we'll break it down, the cars, motorcycles, so that way the safety within the vehicles are all there. But at the same time, it's a nice, beautiful route. And I think this part of the route actually depicts the chaos, the annoyance, everything else in the beginning. And then once you hit that north side of the route, it's beautiful, serene, across the lake, through the woods, and it's calming. It's beautiful. But we want to get it out there.
Dick, we have the route, right? Can we throw that up? Outstanding. Nick is showing you the route right now that you're going to be taking around this. Yes. I just wanted to show it to people so they can visualize what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. The route is beautiful. We rode it 2-3 weeks ago just to make sure. Two small construction points that are choke points, but again, it kind of does resemble the stressors that a veteran goes through where he gets to that point of thinking that his last option is that. So I wanted the route to kind of like mimic a thought process.
Now,
so there's some thought behind it, yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be a beautiful day for a ride.
Oh, it's always a beautiful day for a ride.
Yeah. There is no such thing as a bad ride. That's not true. We haven't hit love bug season yet.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a bad ride. But you were telling me that this isn't just open to veterans.
No, open to everybody. Everybody knows a veteran. Everybody always thanks veterans for their service. With that, I want to include everybody just because learning some of the stuff that we'll learn at this checkpoint is beneficial to everybody because not only does it apply to veterans, but it applies to civilians also. A life is a life. Just because I'm a veteran, I tend to gravitate more towards veterans, but I know civilians also have struggles and issues. And the stuff that we're going to learn at this checkpoint is going to benefit everybody.
Let's not forget that when a veteran commits suicide, that's not the end. Because he leaves behind his brothers and sisters and his family.
Yes.
And I can tell you from personal experience, that is a traumatic event for the family, for the brothers and sisters. And they need help also.
Correct.
If you're listening to my voice, and I've said this 1,000 times over the past 7 years, and I'm going to say it 1,000 times more, you never went into battle without your battle buddy, ever. Call. If it's in the middle of the night and you don't feel comfortable calling 988 or any of the other 1-800 numbers, you can call. You can call 936. What's my number? 936-344-3083. You can call that. And I will answer. If I don't answer, it's the middle of the night. It means I'm here to call. Keep calling. Don't text me in the middle of the night because you'll never get a response. But call me. I will lay there in my bed and talk to you. That is not the final option. Just like in combat, you get so wrapped up with your squad and what your squad is doing, you can't see what the rest of the squads are doing around you because you're lost. You're lost inside of the moment. Don't be lost. Call your battle buddy. If you don't have one, call me. I'll be your buddy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, perfect. I love that. And I like to get more of that out. a lot of people talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. We're here. And again, on Saturday, we're going to get so many resources. Resources for family members of suicide victims. We have that. But Op Zero is the Greater Houston area where we coordinate with everybody we possibly can to make sure that everybody gets the help. One thing that really triggered me was Thanksgiving when I was volunteering at the VFW, the VA, handing out turkey dinners to the less fortunate veterans. Nobody knew what the Compact Act was. And so the Compact Act, you can go to a civilian hospital, be inpatient or outpatient, and the VA will cover it, regardless of what your percentage is. You're covered for that. And it's a new federal law that was passed last year, I believe. And so it's phenomenal. Like, nobody can tell you no. If you need to, you can go do this. And a lot of people don't know this. They think the VA is the only way out. You don't have to wait for a VA appointment.
You know, this is a failure on my part. Because I actually used the Compact Act a couple of months ago for another one of my veterans. And it worked phenomenally well.
Yes.
It worked so well that while he was inpatient, they temporarily upped his disability until he completed his program. I didn't realize that was part of the Compact Act.
Yeah.
If you're an inpatient, mm-hmm. regardless what your rating is, if you're an inpatient, they automatically up you to 100%. While you're completing that program.
Yes.
And some people don't feel comfortable calling 988, calling the VA. They just don't feel comfortable. When I talk to spouses, one of their chief complaints is he doesn't talk to me or she doesn't talk to me. It's not out of they don't love you. It's out of there's no way for you to possibly understand what it is they're trying to say.
Yes.
Two veterans can get together and we can say a hell of a lot without saying much. And that's because we have shared experiences. To translate that experience that your veteran has into something that you might be able to understand, that's difficult and almost nigh impossible. But they're sitting there and they're struggling, and you're the spouse. They're struggling. Don't leave it up to them to get help. Come on out Saturday, right?
Absolutely. Love to have you. Love to show you all the resources that are available besides the normal 988. Press 1. Like, there are so many more in this area, and my job is to bring them all together and then share them with everybody. So that way you can see that there's more than just the simple options that are mass advertised. So many organizations are going to be there to give so much out there. Vet Center's coming out, VA's coming out, Mosaics. I want to talk about Objective Zero. Objective Zero has a phenomenal plan that helps veterans, and a lot of people just don't know about it yet, and I think it's great. There's so many ways to get linked up and get what they call a pathfinder close to you. So, and then I'm going through that process to become one of their pathfinders also, to be able to talk to and counsel somebody, and it's vet to vet, peer to peer, vet to a spouse, vet to whatever, but talk to vets to help vets, and that's what we need more of.
I totally agree. I mean, now my wife was with me since the beginning of my military career.
Same here.
I met her my first tour in Germany, and I went, that's the one for me. And she's been with me the entire time. So she understands the veteran mentality. She understands why I am the way I am and those days that I get dark. She can relate to it. While she didn't have the same experience, she had the aftermath of that experience. She had to deal with me when I came back off of deployment. And it's important for the veteran community as a whole that we give aid and counseling, not just to the veteran,
family members,
but
also
to the family members. We had a psychologist on here a couple of months ago. I forget her name, but she wrote two phenomenal books just for the spouses of veterans with mental health issues. And they were really great books. Mental health still today is a stigma. That's the right word?
It is.
And it shouldn't be. People ask me, they said, Doug, tell us about your combat experience. And I tell them what operations I did, what wars I served in. They go, well, you have PTSD. No, I don't have PTSD. I don't have PTSD because I think that I got more training before I went into combat. Today's group of veterans, we send them to basic, we send them to EIT, and then we ship them over to the sandbox. The brain doesn't have enough time to absorb all the lessons that are needed to survive combat, to survive that trauma. And it is trauma. And we need to recognize what that is. PTSD isn't something new. We've had it since World War I.
It's called shell shock, then.
Shell shock, battle fatigue, different names. But, you know, here we're in the 2000s, so we have to come up with a catchy little acronym. The answer to PTSD, first and foremost, is you're going to have it forever. It's like grief. Yes. You're going to have grief forever. You're never going to not have it. You're just going to learn ways to cope with it. A lot of times, the VA's answer is to throw a bunch of meds at you.
Yes.
Send you to counseling. And I got to tell you a story, quick story. So a number of years ago, I was at the VA doing my liver doctor thing. and they wanted me to have a flu shot. And I said, can't get the flu shot right now. I'm too busy. I'm traveling all over the states. I'll get it when I get back because I get sick with it. And the young doctor kept enforcing that I need to get the flu shot today. I need to get the flu shot today. And finally she says, if you don't get the flu shot, you could die. And I looked at her and went, promise? And it went downhill from there. Did you know at the VA in Houston that there's a secure part of the sixth floor?
Yes, there is.
Security will come pick you up, drag you there, throw you through those doors that lock behind you. So I got in front of a younger guy, about 25, and he had a man bun, couldn't grow a beard, wearing a skinny suit. He said, we're going to work on our breathing today, Mr. Burrell. So I grabbed him by the throat and said, it's going to be hard to breathe without an esophagus. Unlock the doors, which probably wasn't the smart thing to do because I got banned from the VA for a number of years. But I tell that story to say this. Throwing a bunch of meds at you, putting you in front of somebody that you cannot relate to and they cannot relate to you, does not help the situation. Does not help the problem with mental health, especially with a veteran. A veteran needs somebody that understands the veteran mentality. A veteran needs somebody that understands what they went through. They may have not went through it with them, but they can understand it. They can relate to it.
With no judgment.
With no judgment.
Even if the person speaking to the veteran doesn't have judgment, the way a veteran thinks is if you weren't there or you were never experiencing anything like that, in our minds, we think you automatically have judgment. And that's a veteran.
That's a veteran thing.
Yeah, it's a veteran thing. It's 100%. to carry on what you were saying, through my studies, back in the day, World War I, World War II, Korea War, troops were sent over on ships, not so much by airplanes or anything else. So when they were coming back home on those ships, they had time to decompress. They had time to talk to each other and break it down. When we left Iraq, we were home like within 20 hours, back with our families, back doing everything that, you know, was supposed to be happening, given 30 days of leave to go decompress. And that was just, you can't. The human brain, once it's trained, the military breaks it down. They rebuild it to what they need, and then they send you off, and then you continue to train. And what you're training for is killing and surviving. So you continue to train that way. You continue. Your brain is completely rewired. And then when you retire, they just put you back out, and now you're a civilian. Now, mind you, kid comes in at 18, spends his 20 years, comes out at 38.
All he knows.
He's never been in the civilian world. He has no idea how civilians operate. My wife tells me all the time, civilians aren't like that. No, don't do that. Civilians don't like that. So, and to me, I'm like, what? Or like you said, your joke when you said promise. To us, dark humor is how we get rid of some of the stuff. It's how we deal with the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Civilians don't understand that. So then no. They take that as another red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag. Oh, he said this, red flag. Between veterans, when you said it, I giggled because I thought it was funny. I know what you meant, but I know you weren't serious, you know, at the time, because it's one of those things where you're just aggravated and you just say something to get through the situation.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. This is the stuff that Operation Zero is going to get out to people. This is the stuff that's going to say, hey, if you want to talk to your veteran, you're going to have to understand these things. This is the way his mind really is working. Let's get down to the brass tacks, so we can help each other out. We can help our families out. We can get people who really want to thank veterans and show support. Come out and support. Come out and let's make sure we get this taken care of. We just lost another vet in San Antonio VA just, 4 days ago?
Yep.
Sad.
Yep.
So that was not his last option. And to do it at the VA when you know your brothers and sisters are there with you?
Unfortunately, he could not see the forest through the trees. And I blame the VA. Yes. For that suicide, I do. And I understand Audie Murphy. I have veterans out there. When I say I have veterans, I'm not a VSO. I'm a veteran support officer. I travel all across the country just supporting veterans, giving them what they need, other than filling out their forms for their benefits. So I have a number of veterans out there in the San Antonio area, and I took one of them back after Thanksgiving, before Christmas, fell, broke her wrist. Took her to one VA clinic, said, oh, we can't help you, go to this VA clinic. Went to that VA clinic, they said, oh, we can't help you, go to Audie Murphy. Bring down to Audie Murphy, same day. 12 hours later, walks out of the ER, still with the same brace the original doctor had given her, and said, well, we'll have to schedule you for something. No pain meds, no nothing. Took an x-ray in 12 hours and said, we'll call you. There's something wrong at Audie Murphy. I'm sorry, that's off the topic, but
yeah, it is.
Getting back on your topic. So, yeah. You're gonna muster at the VFW 4709 in the morning.
Yes.
What time is muster?
So me and some of the volunteers from the Vietnam Vets Legacy Vets Motorcycle Club, we're gonna show up around 8. I have some other volunteers out picking up some of the donations that were given to us. Like Canes has donated the teas and the lemonade for us while we're there. Yes, yes, 100%. The Canes off 1488 and Magnolia, if you want to go and thank them, please do that. They're also donating the truck with a trailer in case a motorcycle breaks down. We can go out there and pick you up and bring the motorcycle back to the VFW so that way we can you can do what you need to from there with your motorcycle. We're not going to leave you stranded on that route at all. So we do have a truck to run out and pick people up, need be, with the trailer. We're going to get there at 8, 9-ish, and start setting up the tables for the classroom and all the other good stuff.
When do they line up? You kick off at 11 a.m.
Yes. So 10. I would like to have them 10 and then back by 11, knowing now that I have everybody that's going to show up is showing up for classes, plus now that I also got Fry Daddy's, which is a veteran-owned food truck also. She's going to be there and her husband, and they're going to be serving up some delicious fried food. Oh, if you need to see the menu, go online to Fry Daddy's and look them up.
Frydaddies.com?
Yeah, you're going to love their food. I promise you that.
You heard it here. Frydaddies.com to go check out Fry Daddy's food truck that's going to be at the VFW 4709. But you start riding. You kick off, you leave the parking lot at 11, right?
Yes, we're going to leave at 11. You'll be back by 12. It's like when we rode it, I think it took us 38 minutes, and we really weren't even trying to speed or we weren't speeding at all. We were stuck in traffic. We went during like the day, like 5 o'clock hour to see what the worst case scenario was. So it'll be like, I think it took us like 38 minutes, but it's a nice little ride. There'll be 3 more checkpoints this year. We're doing one every quarter, and this part here is the actually upper left part of the stop sign. So it's going to be 4 different rides that'll actually cruises that'll make up a full stop sign shape, kind of based off roads.
I wish I could cruise with you. I got rid of my bike years ago. Just can't do it. What are you riding Saturday?
I'm bringing in my truck because I have the supplies and everything else to set everything up. But my truck will be the one that'll lead, and I'll just have somebody else drive it. But I have a 2012 F-150 Raptor.
And cool beans.
It'll have the Op-Zero flag off the back of it.
Outstanding. So if you're not coming to this, but you're on the route, just pull over. Just slide over so the guys can get past and the girls can get past. And like you said, it's open to everybody. You don't have to be a veteran.
No, you do not have to be a veteran.
You're cruising in support of the veterans.
Yes. And when I cruise, like, Corvette clubs, come on out. Other motorcycle clubs, come on out. Classic car clubs, come on out. Those car shows, we're gonna do a car show this year. So yeah, please come out. Like 100%, we're going to. I want everybody out. I want everybody to see, because the more classic cars, the more cool cars, the more unique cars that people are out there, the more people notice, and they're gonna notice. Hey, these guys are all getting together for some reason. What is the reason? Now we're gonna start building that inquisitiveness.
I think that's good, because I consider myself well informed in the veteran community, and I've never heard of Operation Zero.
I have paid for everything. I'm waiting for the response from the state, and then Operation Zero HTX is going to be the Houston area one, and it's going to be 100% 501c, good to go. We're pushing forward, and I'm making this a big thing.
Well, once you get it, send me your banner so I can put it on the Veterans Air website.
Yes, so, yeah. We have a web page being built right now.
So you're going to go on the ride. You can get back by noon, and that starts the veterans the resource portion of the day.
Yes. So
tell me a little bit more about that.
The first class, we're going to go over Operation Zero, so you understand who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And then I'm going to go into also a little bit of Objective Zero, just because I think they're an awesome app. So if you want to right now, go ahead and download the Objective Zero app and look at all the benefits there. I'm working with them now to get more Texas resources put on their page, but they're phenomenal. You'll see what I mean by their pathfinders and all the training they have to go through to be able to answer that phone call. It is a lot of training. I'm still going through a lot of it. Most of it I've taken, but it still goes through. So after we do that, I think the first one is the Vet Center, correct?
This is what you sent me.
Yes. Yes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The first one is American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They're going to give the Talk Saves Lives training, and that's important because that's for everybody to talk to anybody. Like, it's not only just military, but it's designed for civilians also. So you're going to learn how to talk and what to say, what not to say. You know, don't be judgmental. Don't say judgmental type things. Understand and be compassionate and have that empathy for the person that is contemplating suicide. So that's going to go over a lot of that stuff, and it's phenomenal. And I'm so glad that they're on board with that. And then we're going to have the Vet Center give the SAVE training. Any veteran that's ever went through the VA training, the SAVE training is on that site. But now we're going to get the SAVE training also, which is just along the same lines as the AFSP class. And I will also have the VA. The VA will give more resources out and more things that you can do as a veteran or a civilian, to include, like we talked about, family-oriented stuff, a resource workshop. So the resources, we're going to have VA people there with their computers, sign you up for your benefits, let you know what you're good for, what you're not good for. They're going to have all the benefits and the computer there to get everybody the information that they need or have just been inquisitive about or whatever. We're here to get the information out.
I want to go on a sidetrack, side rail.
Let's do
on
it.
Benefits. When the VA, well, correction, when the veteran is looking for a benefit, it is a benefit that they earned.
Yes.
It's not an entitlement. It's not the government giving them something. Mm-hmm. They earned their benefit. And I'm going to tell you why they earned their benefit, especially disability. They joined the military, they raised their right hand, they swore oath to support and defend all enemies, from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yes. So help me God, the oath that they took. They didn't care what would happen to them. They knew, but they did it anyway. And they signed on the dotted line that I'm going to do this. And when they sign on that dotted line, part of that is the government would do things if this happened. You break it, you buy it. Broke a veteran, we buy that veteran. It's that simple. They're not being handed a handout. They earned their benefits. And I know, I hear this all the time. Well, I didn't apply for mine because I didn't want to take away from my brother who really needs it. Bull. We have the resources, whether it be financial, medical, or mental health-wise. We have the resources for everyone. If you're so concerned that you're getting more than your brother, there's nothing saying that you can't take some of that money and give it to your brother. No, I highly recommend that. I'm sorry, that's one of my pet peeves.
No, you're 100% right. So, especially when civilians jump on that soapbox, it really annoys me because a civilian falls down and gets hurt at work. What do they get?
Workman's comp.
When a soldier gets injured in combat or in training or anything else, what do we get? we get to go to the aid station and then get a profile if it's that bad. But you get a thing that says go back to work.
800 milligrams of Motrin.
There you go.
Change Motrin, your socks, water. And drink some water. You're good to go. It's only a sucking chest wound. Get back to work.
So that's what we get. We don't collect workman's comp until after we're out. So they take all of our injuries, everything that we've been broken down to, and then they collect it all up and they say, all right, yeah, there's proof of this. We don't just get it. We have to fight for it. We have to show proof. It's not just a, hey, I did this back in the, 10 years ago, and then all of a sudden you're 100%. That's not the way it works. You have to prove it. You have to fight for it. That's the bad part. You have to fight for it, but you do have to prove it. So when you prove it and you get your rating, all right, cool. If you disagree with it, you take what you get, but then you continue the fight if you think you deserve more. So it's not anything that's even just given to us, even though we've earned it. We still have to fight for it at the end. So that's one thing I think civilians think is like, oh, as soon as you get out, everybody gets it. And then they think the system's abused. There may be some that slip through the cracks, 100%.
There are some abusers out there.
Yes. However, for the most part, because as bad as you have to fight for this stuff, then like it's you have to earn it again. Mm-hmm. It's like earning it again. It's not an easy, oh, I'm out, give me what I deserve. No. And show me what you deserve is what they say.
Fighting for the benefit and being denied and fighting again and being denied, it is soul crushing.
Yes.
That in and of itself is adding to the mental health issues that we have.
Yes. Yes.
And it shouldn't be that way. Hopefully we can change it. So what else are you doing there?
So the VA benefits, resource workshop. We'll have some other booths out there. Obviously, the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, Mosaic is coming out. VFW 4709 post, the post 4709. Great. They offered the location for us to have this. So it's awesome. I do want to get more veterans involved, more veterans supporting things. So for the next one, I think I want to have it in June-ish. So get everybody out there thinking. But I think I'm going to push towards an ice cream social with some like water games. It's going to be hot June. And so I'm looking for the next location and get some more veteran support out there, food trucks or anybody else who wants to donate to make this a great cause. But I want it to be a fun summer day again. And then the classes will be all outside, a projector on a screen kind of like thing. And we stay outside and, have fun, ice cream, good things like that, just to get together and do something like that. And, of course, there'll be another route.
Did you know that at our post, the back fence from the building that borders Candy Can Park, did you know that comes down?
I did not know that.
Comes down.
That's
where we usually do 4th of July.
Oh.
Half inside, half outside, up a bouncy house. We just take the fence down. We built it that way so it can come down. Just saying,
keep that in mind
for June.
So with that new museum opened up, or is opening? It's opened up now. The new museum there by the library, right there.
The Montgomery County War Memorial.
I would love to do something in that area right there. Just because I don't think enough people go to that area. Enough people actually go and walk around that lake, or the pond, I'm sorry, and go inside the museum, like, this community is full of veterans, whether you know it or not. Like, there's veterans
54,000.
Yes. And so let's get people in there. Let's get people supporting the ones who are trying to support us, too. So that's where I want to have all of my events at, is places that want to support us. So that's one place. And I know you probably have the name of the lady. One of my brothers has the name of the lady also. And I'm just putting it out there. She's listening. I'm coming to find you. We're going to talk about June.
Do they have to pay for any of this?
No. Maybe the food truck. The food truck, you will have to pay for. I couldn't. I got the drinks for free, and I tried everywhere I possibly could for food, and it was hard. It's very hard. I didn't think it would be that hard, but it was very hard. But like I said, Fry Daddy's, veteran-owned, said 100%, yes, I'm going to support this. So they're coming out to help support. But other than that, no. Pay for your gas to go on the cruise. Pay for the gas to come out.
Standing.
Come enjoy being with veterans. Come talk to them. Ask them their story. You support veterans, ask them their story. Ask them how they see things around the world, because that will open your eyes to a lot of things. Just real quick, I'll share real quick one thing with you. Before Iraq and Afghanistan, I joined in 1995. In 99, I went to Bosnia. And one of our missions, we had to escort the NATO grave diggers, the guys that went out there and dug up the mass graves. And my first thing to say, slap in the face to say, wow, this world is real. People are bad. Was when we uncovered this mass grave site. And I saw a father and daughter right there, like 10 feet from me, buried in that site, still holding hands. So since then, that has shaped my mind. Kids are the most protected thing in the world to me. If I see you abusing a child, trust me, I'm going to be saying something. But that was the first mental effect that I had. Like, that still haunts my dreams to this day, seeing that. A father and a daughter together still holding hands.
What a great way to segment into our next part of the show.
Yes, I'm trying to help you out.
That's great. Is there anything else that we need to put out about this checkpoint in Operation Zero?
Like I said, there's going to be 4 a year. I want to keep this going continuously, so keep posted. And Doug, I hope you have me again to talk about the next one so we can get the word out more. I need to start up a Facebook. Me personally, I don't like Facebook. So Instagram is coming. I got some other help from some other veterans doing a bunch of other great stuff. So that's awesome. But it's free this Saturday. You're not doing nothing anyway. So come on now.
When you get your 501C, we got to talk how Operation Zero and Dragon 6 can work together.
100%. I love working with veterans. 100%. Yes. Yes.
So everybody listening to my voice, come on out Saturday to the VFW 4709. It's over on Seaman Street. Got a big helicopter up front. You know where it's at. Be there by 10 to line up for the ride. The VFW will be open, of course. And we'll have Cokes and whatnot there. So it's a great way to spend a Saturday. Be there. Now, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me for this.
We're going to talk about Epic Fury, Operation Epic Fury.
Let's do this, yes.
So, this is the commentary part of the show. And my faithful 6 listeners out there, you know I have to say this before the commentary part of my show. The views and opinions expressed in today's commentary are solely the views and the opinions of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, its programming, sponsors, or advertisers. I do that in my radio voice.
That's a good radio voice.
Yeah. I do that so, you know, the FCC doesn't come and shut down Dick. So, let's talk about Operation Epic Fury. And there's two mindsets on this, if you will. There's the military veteran mindset, and there's the civilian mindset. And Kurt gave us a great segue into this. Evil exists in the world. I don't care whether or not you support Trump or not. If you're a Democrat or a Republican, I don't care. I'm a constitutional anarchist. You all know this. Oh, wait, stop. Hard break. Today is the last day that you can vote in the primaries for the Democrats and the Republicans, so go vote if you haven't already. Dick, you voted for me, right? Thank you, Dick. Back to the show. This operation is not a war. And if you don't understand the difference, go ask a veteran. On the political side of this, the president, don't care if it's Trump, if it's Obama, or if it's Kamala, couldn't care who the president was. The president has certain powers to use his military. And yes, it is his military. He is the commander-in-chief. The War Powers Act. This was from 1973, this resolution. And it gave the president certain powers to use
his military aggressively and didn't have to report that use back to Congress for 48 hours. And after he's reported it to Congress, the operations can still go on for the next 30 days. The only governing body that can declare war is Congress. The only governing body that can declare war. The president, as the commander-in-chief, can do military operations if it's not a war. Is Operation Epic Fury a war?
No.
Why isn't it a war?
We have no boots on ground. We're not taking land. We're not doing anything at all.
Absolutely. And Congress hasn't declared it a war.
Correct.
So if Congress doesn't declare it a war, it's an operation, military operation.
Yes.
I went to Operation Just Cause in Panama. Wasn't a war. Operation Just Cause. Because war was never declared. As a military man or a veteran, most of the branches would consider having to have boots on the ground to make it a war. Currently, there are no boots on the ground. Before you call me and flame me and go, Doug, they have military bases all around there. Yes, that's not boots on the ground. We're not taking those soldiers, and we're not placing them in the middle of Iraq to go secure Iraq. What the president is doing here is he is...
Iran.
Iran.
Yeah, you said Iraq. I was like, we already did that in Iraq.
It's like, we did that in Iraq.
Yeah. We're talking about Iran. Just so listeners don't get confused.
In Iran, what we're currently doing, what we've been doing for the past 3 days here, is we're singing a song. And that song is, bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb. Now, we're using our air assets, and we're taking out Iran's ability to use their ballistic missiles or enrich uranium. That's what we are doing. That's what the United States is doing. Well, they killed 49 people, and the Ayatollah, who is a humanitarian, by the way, very peace-loving man.
Yes, I read that obituary.
I saw that in the Washington Post.
There's
a lot of sarcasm in this show. Believe it or not, as far as I can determine, the United States did not take them out. Israel did.
Yeah, that's what the news is. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Saying. We may have supplied intel, but it was Israel that actually took them out, cut the head of the snake off. But you know what? That's not the end all or the objective of Operation Epic Fury. The objective of Operation Epic Fury is to remove Iran's ability to enrich uranium and remove their ballistic missile program. Now, doing that, if that makes the Iranian people rise up and take over their government, we will support that. The President of the United States said he would support that. And I saw a piece in Politico just last night saying, well, there's no way that the Iranian people could do that if they even wanted to do that, which they don't because the Ayatollah is such a peace-loving humanitarian. Where would they get the equipment to do that? It's been 47 years. Does anybody in this room believe that the CIA has not been arming the resistance for 47 years? Please raise your hand. Okay, there we have it. Dick, how much time do I have? 5 minutes? All right. That's my opinion of Operation Epic Fury. And if we do send boots on the ground, if we do send boots on the ground, my prediction is we'll be sending in two types of boots. Special forces to help out the resistance because they need somebody to plan for them. And two, our medical staff in the military. Best of the best. Go in and help them out. Provide medical care for them. That's my opinion of what might happen. What do you think, Kurt?
So I have my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. Is if you look at the Vietnam War, and then you look at the 20-year Operation Iraqi Freedom, or OIF and OEF that we just came out of, they both had the same mission: win hearts and minds. And obviously, those two wars, we've lost a lot of lives, 100%. I think this administration here, Doug, has looked at that in the past and said that doesn't work. So what they're doing now is if they take we take out the strategic sites to allow air superiority, to allow that, to protect our ally nations around it, let Israel do what they need to do to secure theirs themselves. And like if you said boots go on the ground, I think this administration would force the UN to go in. I don't think we would actually put troops in. I think
you're
UN,
probably right.
UN would go in now that this administration is holding UN accountable and making things happen with the UN. I think UN will go in and say, all right, Iran's a sovereign nation. UN is now protecting it until it gets back up again. And that's way better than Iraq, way better deal than Vietnam. So I think that's probably a more advantageous way of securing that and having the U.S. look good. But at the same time, it also does weaken the oil routes to China. And with them and the whole TikTok issue and all the other issues that they're still, you know, talking about, and how they're the superpower and their economy is actually supposed to surpass us statistically, like within the next 7 years. So us doing that to, one, free Iran, stop them from making uranium, I think that's helping us in the long run 100%. But I do think it'll be UN that goes in and holds that country until it's back up and running on its feet. They still have their king. They still have the prince of Iran. They still have those people ready to go in, I think. I think the people will want their previous leaders to go back in because they were our friends until 1979.
Yep.
And then when Sharia law kicked in and they took over, that's when all this debacle started. That's when the unrest kept happening. It's starting from 1979 till
just like
now.
Venezuela. They were very, very progressive and rich. Yes. Country.
And very advanced. Mm-hmm. Iran would have been considered a first world country like us if they did not switch in the 79.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. So I'm running out of time. So I want to let everybody know that on March 21st, the VFW 4709 is having their annual St. Patrick's Day chili cook-off. If you haven't been to this before, come on out. The chili is great. I'm not cooking, but I'm going to be eating, and I'll be watching Beignet because she's my girlfriend and she needs some love. That wraps up the show for today. You want to tune in on April 7th at 1 p.m. for our next live show. I'm going to try to get author Mike Penn on a Zoom call to discuss his book, Hope and Courage. I just finished reading it. If you have not read this, I want you to go buy it over at hopeandcourage.us, and you will not be disappointed. You need to read the whole thing to get it. And I started it, and I was reading it, and I'm not getting it, and I just pushed my way through and said, okay, let me read the rest. It wasn't until the end that I got it. It's very, very powerful. You need to read it. And Mike, if you're listening to this, I'll be calling you here shortly in the next couple of days. See if we can't get you scheduled. And if so, it won't be a live show. It'll just be pre-recorded. So I want to leave you today with this song by our friend Sailor Jerry. And you can go download this and get to it at veteransair.us or on iTunes. And while we listen to this, let us remember our brothers and sisters that are today standing in harm's way for our freedoms and our liberties. If you are wearing the uniform, I want to say to you, thank you. I want to say to you, I'm proud of you. And until next month, stay safe and stay vigilant.